Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you. So, in a message a while back, and I'm trying to remember exactly what series it was and all of that, I introduced some of you to, for the first time, to the concept of a squirrel moment. How many? If you were here, how many of you remember that? If you weren't here, this is kind of new to you. So, a squirrel moment is when you're in a conversation with someone, or you're in the middle of doing something, and you get distracted by something. Like if you were doing something and you saw a squirrel go by, squirrel, like that. And so, you know, squirrel moments tend to affect the way our brains process and all of that. So today I would like to introduce you to another concept, which is probably, it comes from the same idea of the squirrel moment, but it's probably a word that's familiar to you. How many of you are familiar with the word scurry? Scurry? So what does the word scurry mean to you? When you think of scurry, what do you think? You just kind of scurry along or rush along. Did you know that a group of squirrels is called a scurry? So all of this goes to let you know that my brain is a scurry today. There is so much going on in my brain and in my head. It is all over the place to the point that I've been in a couple of conversations with you guys this morning and just gone like blank, completely gone, blank. And so getting ready to deliver a message with your brain being a scurry could lead to an interesting morning. So, I'm just letting you all know that up front, okay? So if I all of a sudden just go blank, you will see what I see most times from you. So let's start with an interesting question. How many of us have ever thought that maybe we wonder what other people think about us too much? Now, as we consider that question, there's an interesting thing going on in all of our minds. There are some people that as soon as the question is asked, oh, yep, that's me. That's a real thing for me. I worry about what people think of me, and I worry about that too much, and so that's me. There are other people who sat there and didn't raise their hands because, nope, not me. I could care less what people think about me. And that doesn't bother me what people think and all that. Then there were some of us who raised our hands because you didn't want me to feel bad. Or you didn't want the person next to you to see you not raise your hand, because if they saw you not raise your hand, then you would think that maybe they think you think you're better than them. And if you did that, then you may worry about what people think about you more than you realize you do. This is a real thing. Worrying about what people think can become a carrot that we chase, that we are always out there trying to gain and win the approval of others. This is a carrot that has impacted my life in a lot of ways, for a lot of years. There are times where I wonder, and even to the point of worry, what others think of me. You know, if you have a friend or someone you're an acquaintance with, and you send them a text, and they don't reply. Did I upset them? Or, you know, and so you start wondering why they didn't reply, and you begin to even wonder, are we okay relationally? Well, I thought we were friends. Maybe we're not even friends. Maybe they hate my guts. You know, and this is kind of what happens. Another way that this plays out for me is when I receive a criticism. Now, I know that's difficult for you guys to imagine, but it does happen. I do receive a criticism on occasion. But what can happen is the way that this plays out is I can receive 100 positive comments about something and one negative comment about the exact same thing. And the one negative will internally, in my mind and in my heart, far outweigh the 100 positive comments. And no matter how many times I try to come back to the 100, I always seem to land on the one negative because someone wasn't pleased or happy with me. And someone didn't approve of me. Not long ago, our son David had a decision that he needed to make. And there was a clear decision that would be okay with Dad. And there was a clear decision that would not be okay with Dad. But he had to make the decision. And he had to sift out what he needed to do. And I remember in one of the conversations, he goes, "I just don't know what to do." And I said to him, I said, "You have permission to make this decision." And he goes, "But I don't know what to do." And I said, "Because you don't want permission, you want approval." And I said, "Just because you have permission doesn't mean that you will have my approval for this decision." Now, he'll always have my approval, but he may not have my approval on a given decision. Make sense? Anybody that's ever had a child or seen a child goes, "Yeah, that makes sense to me." So another way that this plays out is that sometimes I can say yes to something when I should have said no to something. And when you say yes to too many things that you should say no to, you can get in this cycle of almost a borderline unhealth kind of thing. So we moved last year in July, and not long after we moved, there was a knock at the door, and we went to the door, and there was this boy. He was probably somewhere about 8 to 10 years old, and he was selling stuff for a fundraiser. We didn't need what he was selling. We didn't necessarily want what he was selling. But Denise and I kind of went around the corner and went, you know, we're new to the neighborhood. This will give us the opportunity to kind of make a good first impression on the neighbors and, you know, kind of get in good with the neighbor and all of that. So we participated in the kids' fundraiser. And as the mom brought the tin of popcorn up to the door, the $20 tin of popcorn, by the way, that we did not need nor did we want, which may still be in our pantry unopened. The mom, we started a little conversation with the mom, and she learned that we had just recently moved in and all of that. And so we asked her, says, "Well, where do you guys live?" She goes, "Oh," she goes, "we moved out of this neighborhood." She goes, "But when we lived here, we got to know people, so we thought it would be a good idea to come back here and do the fundraiser." So now we have a $20 tin of popcorn and made a good first impression on someone that it doesn't matter at all because we'll never see them again the rest of our lives. Now, there's nothing wrong with participating in a kids' fundraiser. There's nothing wrong with trying to make a good impression on somebody. But when we chase the carrot of people's approval and people-pleasing becomes the priority, then it can lead us down a path that we don't want to end up because it can distract us and it can become a scurry of squirrels trying to gain the approval of other people. There's a renowned psychologist that says she actually calls this desire to get the approval of other people, she calls it the disease to please. And her research has led her to conclude that people-pleasing can become an addiction. Just as someone who would physically, dependently seek drugs, who has a drug addiction, People that have a people-pleasing addiction will pursue the approval of others. So if we're not careful, people-pleasing not only becomes a carrot that we chase, but according to the writer of Proverbs, which is found in the Old Testament part of the Bible, according to the writer of Proverbs, people-pleasing can actually become a trap that ensnares us in our approach to life. And here's what the writer of Proverbs says. Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. The word that is translated snare in the Hebrew language, which is what the Old Testament would have originally been written in, is a Hebrew word called pach, P-A-C-H, is how we would transliterate it with English letters. And that word literally means a noose. And the noose that it is likely referring to is the type that was used to noose an animal and lead an animal around. And the way that they did that was they would take a hook and they would put the hook through the animal's nose and then attach a rope to it, and they would literally lead the animal around by the nose. Fear of man, seeking the approval of others, can become a snare, a noose. It can become a hook in our nose with a rope attached. And seeking the approval of others can cause us to lead a life in which we are literally led around by the nose based on the approval of others. Now, imagine what would happen if the addiction to receive the approval of others, to people please, becomes the thing. And I set out with a hook in my nose and a rope to please you. And I hand you the rope. And then you lead me around to please you. But then I seek to please you. And I hand you another rope. And then I seek to please you with another rope. And another. And all of a sudden, I've got all these ropes attached. And I am pulled in so many different directions based on whose approval I'm trying to gain and seek at that time. And it becomes, the next thing you know, you're trapped. You're trapped somewhere being pulled in all sorts of different directions because of the addiction of trying to receive the approval of other people. But very often, the writer of Proverbs will provide a contrast to approaches to life. And the writer of Proverbs says, the fear of man will prove to be a snare. And interesting, says will prove to be a snare. And interesting that it's prove to be. But, and here comes the contrast, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. So we can trust in the approval of others and wind up trapped in life, or we can trust in God and who God is and who God says we are and be kept safe. Now, when it says kept safe, that doesn't mean bad things will never happen and we'll never encounter challenges or trials or anything like that. It's a bigger picture of ultimately God has this. Does that make sense? Still with me? Or are you scurried? Okay, you guys still with me? Good. Okay, so here's the thing. God has an opinion about each and every one of us. And it is God's opinion of us that matters, regardless of what anyone else thinks. And so the author of Proverbs here is saying that above all else, place your trust in God and God's opinion of you. Because ultimately it is God's opinion of you that matters. And that the fear of man seeking to gain the approval of others will prove to be a trap in which could be the quickest way to lose sight and perspective of God's opinion of you, because the temptation is to replace the approval of others with the approval of God. The early church leader Paul wrote about how he ordered his life around seeking the approval of God rather than the approval of people. And here's what he wrote. He says, obviously, I am not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. Why does Paul say obviously? Well, the people that he wrote to in Galatia would have clearly known all that Paul had endured as a follower of Jesus. They would have known that he had been arrested multiple times. They had known that he had been beaten and left for dead multiple times. They know that he had been shipwrecked at least four times as he traveled the region to advance the way of Jesus. They would have known that he had been snake bitten once and that he had been left for dead by people that opposed him. And they would have known that if Paul were seeking the approval of others, he would have done and said whatever was needed to be done and said to avoid being arrested, being beaten, being shipwrecked, being snake bitten, all of it. If people pleasing were his goal, he would not have put himself in the position as a follower of Jesus to please the people. Does that make sense? He would have done whatever it was to keep the people happy and not worry about what it is that he thought God wanted him to do. And he says that if people pleasing was his goal, he would not be Christ's servant. Well, what does it mean to be a servant? A servant means that when you serve, you place yourself under someone or something. And Paul says that if he's going to place himself under something, if he's going to make something his goal, he's going to place himself under serving Jesus rather than serving people. Now, he's not saying he's not going to serve people. Because after all, serving people is a good thing, right? We're taught and encouraged to serve others. In fact, Jesus said that he came to serve rather than be served. And so, if Jesus came to serve and be served, Paul isn't saying that he's not going to serve. He's saying his goal in serving people is doing what God desires for him to do and seeking the approval of God, which means that not everybody's going to be happy with Paul all the time. He says if he's going to serve, he's going to serve under getting God's approval rather than men's approval. He's not going to fall into the trap of the people-pleasing carrot that so many of us chase. Now, right before Paul says about obviously and being Christ's servant rather than pleasing people, he says, "I am shocked that you are turning away so soon from God, who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. You are following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but is not the good news at all." Something interesting is going on here in the church that Paul writes to in Galatia. Something has happened that has taken their attention and turned it off of God and onto something else. He said, "I'm shocked that you are so quickly turning away from God. And you're following something that pretends to be the good news, but it isn't the good news." When Paul writes this, he had had a major shift in life. Before he helped advance the way of Jesus, he was of Jewish descent. In fact, he was one of the Jewish religious leaders who would have opposed Jesus before Jesus was crucified and the resurrection, and Paul encountered Jesus on a road traveling around the region persecuting followers of Jesus. He was a part of that Jewish religious establishment. In fact, it tells us that he was one of the best of the best. And he knew that when God gave the Jewish people the law, he gave them the Ten Commandments. Now, anybody familiar with the Ten Commandments? Can anybody tell me what the first commandment is? You shall have no other gods before me. Nothing should be put in life as priority over God, including the approval of people. Also, including the Jewish law itself. When Paul writes this, there was a group of people teaching in Galatia that to be made right with God, they were called Judaizing teachers. And what they did is they took the good news of Jesus and put a Jewish twist on it because they were Jewish. And to a Jewish person, to be made right with God meant, to the Judaizing teachers, to be made right with God meant Jesus and the Jewish law. That was their good news. The good news was Jesus and the Jewish law. And Paul says, wait a minute, it's pretending to be the good news, but the good news is really Jesus plus nothing. It's not Jesus and keeping the approval of the Jewish religious leaders. It's not Jesus and keeping the approval of the Jewish law. And the Jewish law is fine. There's lots of good stuff in there. There's lots of good stuff we should still live by. You know, don't have any other gods before me. Don't lie, don't murder, don't steal, don't covet. We kind of learned how we all do on those last week, right? Was it last week? Was that last week? See, you guys don't even remember. But they had, the good news is that right relationship with God comes from Jesus and what he accomplished on our behalf that we could never accomplish for ourselves. Jesus didn't serve to gain the approval of other people. Jesus came to serve to redeem people from sin and to provide the path to right relationship with God. And I don't know about you, but there seems to be a huge difference in those two things. Jesus didn't serve for the benefit of the approval of others. He served for the benefit of others. You are following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but is not the good news at all. And when that happens, here's what Paul says happens to us. You are being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. You are being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth. When we get wrapped up in the approval of others, sometimes we can take this idea of serving others and twist it to convince ourselves that we serve others to gain their approval. And here's the thing, for most of us, most of us want to be approved of by others. We want to be liked. We want them not only to approve of what we do, but we want them to approve of who we are. We want them to approve of me as much as anything. And it's easy to then take those opportunities to serve and twist them, not to serve for the benefit of someone else, but serve for the benefit of gaining that person's approval. And before we know it, we're trapped because we're so worried about what other people think of us and whether this person was happy with us and this person, you know, and everybody's opinion of us matters. And everybody has an opinion, and at some level, everybody's opinions matters, right? I mean, we're all entitled to our opinion. But Here's an interesting thing with this. When it gets all twisted and it gets all distorted, it messes with us. And all of a sudden, we've placed the priority of people's approval over the priority of the approval of God. And God has already said who we are. God has already said, you are my children. You are dearly loved. In fact, I love you so much that Jesus came. Jesus left his place in heaven to come down here to take on human form and to die. So the sins that we mess up can be redeemed. And the path to right relationship with God can be restored. And so Jesus says, or God says, no matter what anybody else thinks of you, this is what I think of you. I love you so much that I was willing to make this relationship right. But we take that and we twist it and say, I've got to have the approval of others. And it gets all out of whack. And before we know it, we've handed the rope to so many people that were pulled in so many different directions, just simply trying to find someone who will approve of us when God has already in Jesus declared us approved. Sometimes, we are who people think we are. But sometimes we aren't. And we don't ever have to be someone we're not to gain the approval of someone else. Sometimes people approve of the things that we do. Sometimes they don't. And here's an interesting thing. Have you ever noticed that sometimes when you make one person happy, you upset someone else? That could just be me, you know? You pick one direction, and somebody else says you should have done this. You choose to hang out with your friends, and mom and dad say, we wish you would have been more respectful of our family time. You tell your friends you can't hang out because you're being respectful of your family time, and they say, well, you're a big fat idiot. And so you see how it becomes a trap? I do something to make you happy and I make you upset. I do something to do this and you don't like this and you don't like this and they don't like that and I don't like any of it. And so, instead of getting caught in that trap, what if we say, just like Paul, obviously I'm not trying to gain the approval of people, but God. And getting God's approval is going to be first and foremost. And I know that no matter what I do, somebody's going to like it, somebody's not going to like it, somebody's going to approve, somebody's not. But the bottom line is, whatever I do and whoever I'm becoming, am I approved by God? And here's one of the coolest things. God has already said we are approved by placing our trust in Jesus and following him. And then obviously becomes obvious. We all want to be approved, and we will all seek the approval of someone. The question is, whose approval really matters? The fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever places their trust in the Lord is kept safe. So whose approval are you chasing? Let me pray for us as we wrap up this morning. Dear God, today, each and every one of us desires approval from someone. Help each and every one of us today to desire your approval above and beyond anyone else's, and to know that seeking your approval above all else actually frees us from the trap of seeking the approval of everyone else. If we are going to be led in a direction, let us be led in the direction that you lead. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, thank you again for being here. If this is one of your first times, whether it's in person or online, we hope it's not one of your last times. We hope that you'll come back again. Next week is part 5 of the Chasing Carrots series, and the last part of the Chasing Carrots series. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to be a little sad to see this logo go. I love this logo. From the day it was designed, I loved this logo. And so I'm going to be a little sad to see. We should name him. I'll have to ponder that. Maybe by next week we'll name the carrot. What's that?
Charlie Carrot.
Charlie Carrot? Oh, no. In our world, maybe it would be crazy, confused, chaotic carrot. I don't know. Anyway, see, told you. It only caught up with me at the end for the most part. So next week, part 5. In the meantime, have a great rest of the week and really seek God's approval more than anybody else's.